Yeah, Mom, good morning. Excited to be here today on a rainy day, still in February, a couple more days to go before we hit March, and then it'll probably snow in March, maybe. But no snow so far. So I'm excited about this sermon today. I've been studying this passage for the last several weeks, and this week, actually, I got to speak to a group of faculty and present this passage. So it helped me to practice on the faculty so I could deliver it today. But the title is God Knows Your Name. God Knows Your Name. And some of you know my story that became a Christian at college at the University of Maryland. My sophomore year is when two Christian students led me to the Lord, and that's how I came to know Jesus. And I've thought a lot about the name of God and God's name and what God thinks about me, that he, because I'm a Christian, he's forgiven me, he's redeemed me, he's made me who I am. And it hasn't always been easy. There's been fire and there's been water that you pass through as we grow as Christians. In this passage, Isaiah 43 is just, for me, a wonderful encouragement in the Lord. Encouragement in the Lord. So my wife and I had a dog. The dog is gone. Passed over the Rainbow Bridge into heaven 2 years ago, my first dog. His name was Bear. Bear was the name of this dog. And we had it for 15 years now. It was my daughter's dog who got it when she was a junior in high school. And I guess she forgot she was going to college. So when she went to college, it became our dog. So Bear was part of our family for about 15 years. And at the end of his life, he became blind. Now, I thought about getting him a CNI dog to take care of the dog, but I didn't do that. Anyway, but he... when I called his name, he'd come running. And he couldn't see. Sometimes he'd run into the chair, sometimes he'd run into this or that. But when I said Bear, my little white fuzzy dog would come running. He recognized my voice. And he knew that I was calling him by name. So now, my youngest daughter has moved into a house behind our house. I think I've told you this. Her name is Rachel, and she's married, and they're planning a church, actually, in Elizabethan. But they have a dog, and because they live behind me, I've sort of adopted that dog as mine, even though they pay for the vet, and they feed it and all that. But I get to walk it. So every morning, I get a leash, and I go get that dog. His name is Fitz, is the name of this dog. And I go and pick him up and go for a walk in around the neighborhood. So today, early this morning, I went for a walk with the dog. But here's the thing that happens when I knock on their door to get the dog, and the dog hears me, starts barking. But my son-in-law would come to the door holding my grandson, Theo. And every morning, he says, and he's about a year, he's 15 months old. Every morning, he would say, Granddad, Granddad, Granddad. Now, he couldn't say my name, Earl, it's hard to say, but he knew who I was. He knew my name. I was Granddad to him. And I thought, God knows our name. He knows your name. He knows my name. He knows who you are. And he knows everything about us. Everything. He knows our background. He knows our marital status. He knows our heritage. He knows our parents, our great-grandparents. He knows who we are. He knows everything about us. He knows our pain, and he knows our joy. He knows our struggles. He knows our victories. He knows everything about us. God knows our name. So let's take a look at verse 1, Isaiah 43. If you don't have your Bible, turn, just look in the bulletin, and it's listed out there. And I want to make some comments on this verse that for me were very encouraging as I studied it. And Isaiah is one of my favorite of the Old Testament books, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. Let me read this in English, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. So the first point that he makes there is that he has formed us. God has formed us. Now, I know there's some medical doctors in the room. And when you think about being formed by God, there's DNA code and RNA, DNA. There's all these things that happen, you know, internally. But God forms us. He created us to be the people that we are. He created us. I had no choice in who my parents would be. You didn't either, but we didn't pick our parents, right? We don't pick our moms and dads out. We didn't pick our grandparents out. We had no choice in that. But God formed us. He created us. He knows everything about us. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 139. This is a fantastic psalm, where it talks about the creation of God and how God has formed us. And it's an interesting thing to study because it talks about how God actually does it, how God forms us in the womb. I see a little baby over there. You know, God formed that baby in the womb of the mother. Listen to this. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. He wove us in our mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That word wonderfully means awesome. We are awesomely made by God. You know what that means? Every one of us is valued and important to God. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame, so first he talks about being weaved in the womb, and then he talks about the development of our bones, our frame itself. He says, our frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. He's talking about the formation of the baby internally, you know, the formation of the internal organs and all the things that you need, and the bone structure and the tendons and the ligaments and everything that's woven together. My frame was not hidden from you. Verse 16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. You know, God has seen everything internally within us, inside of us. And then listen to this, in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me. Verse 17, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. Have you ever thought about that? God has precious thoughts towards you and towards me. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. If you could count every particle of sand in the whole world, I don't know what the number is, but it'd be like the number of stars in the sky, something like that. God has numbered. He has numbered every grain of sand. He knows every hair on our heads, whether it's brown or black or gray. He knows everything about us. He knows about the birds flying through the air. He knows how to provide for the fish in the ocean. He knows how to take care of us as beloved sons and daughters. That's pretty encouraging, isn't it? God thinks about me. He knows me by name. He has formed me. God has formed me and made me into the person that I am. That's pretty cool. The second thing he does, he says, God has redeemed you. Go back to Isaiah 43. Not only has he formed us, he's redeemed us. And that word redeemed is a biblical word. It's throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament. And the word literally means to set free by paying a ransom. To set free. When you redeem somebody, you're paying to have them set free. To have them set free. So what have we been, as Christians, what have we been set free from? Well, we're set free from our sin. Because of the death of Christ, we're set free. Our forgiveness has been made in Christ. So we're set free from our sin. Secondly, we're set free from our bondage to our old way of life. As a Christian, we don't have to keep living the way we were living before. We can live a new life in Christ. We can clothe ourselves with a new life in Christ. So he set us free from our sin. He set us free from our bondage to the world. We can cut the ties with the world because this world is not our final home. Amen? This world is not our final home. There is a much more beautiful place that one day we'll go to as believers in Christ. He has redeemed us. He has set us free. He's taken the chains. He's broken the chains that bound us. That's good news. We're set free in Christ. We have been redeemed. We have been redeemed. We are free now in Christ to live for Him. The third thing He does, though, He has called us by name. And I did a study in the New Testament Gospels, and I'm not finished with this part of it, but I tried to find everywhere in the Gospels, there's four Gospels, where Jesus calls somebody by name. You know, where did Jesus actually call someone by their name in the Gospels? It's kind of fun to study that. You might want to do that, and you can help correct me. I thought of like six different people, apart from the apostles, leaving the apostles out, Peter, James, John, Andrew. But apart from the apostles, I think there's either five or six people that Jesus called by name in the Gospels. All right, one of them was his mother, Mary, at the foot of the cross. Remember, he said to John, the apostle, here is your mother, and told Mary that John would take care of her. So you had Mary at the foot of the cross. You had Zacchaeus, remember? He was a short little man, a wee little man, and he jumped up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus. And Jesus says his name, Zacchaeus. That's a good name to say. It's kind of a fun name. Zacchaeus. So that's a second one. A third one was Martha. There were three brothers and sisters, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha was preparing dinner. And Martha got very, very frustrated while she was preparing dinner and said, Mary, why don't you help me? You ever felt that way in your own home when you're having people coming over for company? You know, someone's just sitting there talking. Everyone else is trying to work hard. So Martha says to Jesus, why don't you do something about this? And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're so worried about so many things. But then later, their brother got sick. Remember their brother's name? Yeah, Lazarus. Lazarus got sick. So they sent a message to Jesus, please come quickly so you can heal the one you love. Because they knew that Jesus loved their brother. And Jesus delayed coming there, and Lazarus dies and is put into a tomb for 4 days. And Jesus says, bring me to the tomb. Do you remember what he says standing outside the tomb? He says what? Lazarus, come forth. Why do you think he said, Lazarus, come forth? Why did he use the name? And I love this thought. You know why? Because if he would have said, come forth, all the graves would have opened and all the people would have come alive. And you know what? That's going to happen. One day that will happen. Jesus will say, come forth. And all of us as believers in Christ, even those who have already died, will come to life and come to Jesus. Jesus called Lazarus by name. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And then there was one other person. Her name was Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is a very interesting person to study, and I'm studying about her life right now, Mary Magdalene. She had been a demon-possessed woman. She had seven demons that possessed her spirit. And Jesus cast those demons out of her. But before he did that, Mary had become very, very desperate. She had become suicidal. She didn't see any way out of her life. She probably was planning on killing herself. But Jesus came to her one day. And they're in this house. And Mary had her head down, weeping. She was in despair. And she heard someone behind her. And Mary turned around and looked. And it was a man in a robe and sandals. She didn't know who it was. But she could see his eyes. His eyes are full of love and compassion. And that man, he said one word. You know what he said? Mary. Mary. He knew her name. And God saved her. The demons were cast out. God saved her. Isn't that beautiful? God knows our name. He knows your name. And by the way, God knows every language ever written. So he knows all of our names, whether it's in English or Mandarin or French or Latin or Greek or Spanish. It doesn't matter. God knows our name. And then the last part of this passage. Not only does God know our name, but he says this. You are mine. You are mine. In other words, we belong. We belong to God. Now, on this earth, we think we own stuff, right? Like maybe you have a car, maybe you have a house or books, or you have a refrigerator and a TV, and we have possessions. And that we bought from hard working and we purchased these things. But here's what it says here. It says that we belong to God. A new ownership has taken place. So when my son was just a little boy, he was, I think, maybe 4 years old, 3 or 4 years old, but he got one of those plastic baseball bats, you know, the kind of the one big red bat, has a big plastic bat. And he was in the backyard, and He was hitting rocks. He'd throw rocks and hit it with the bat. He was pretty good at it, a pretty good baseball player. But my car was parked kind of near where he was hitting the bat. And my son's name is Austin. I said, Austin, please don't hit any rocks because you're going to hit my car. Accidentally, you hit the car. So I had to go off somewhere, and I came back home. And my son, when I got home, I could tell that something happened. And he actually did hit the car. He hit the windshield. And there was a crack in the windshield. And I thought, okay, I have two ways I could respond to this. And by the mercy of God, I chose the higher way. But I said to Austin, Austin, you didn't obey me. That was wrong. It was wrong. And he said, Dad, I'm sorry. But I said, you know what? I love you more than I love that car. That car is made out of metal and rubber and glass. Austin, I love you more than that car. You know what? He never hit rocks with his bat anymore. He hit baseballs, but he never again hit rocks with that bat. Because I loved him. I loved him. My son belonged to me. He's my son. And now he's an adult, and he's still my son. That's how God feels about us. He says, you are mine. You are loved. You are accepted. You are forgiven. You are special to me. Do you know this? If you would have been the only person alive in all of history, Jesus would have died for you. If you were the only one, he would have died for you or for me. We belong to God. Verse 2. On application, I want to talk about verse 2. Isaiah 43, verse 2. Again, it's in your bulletin if you want to look at it. A couple things I want you to know. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flames burn you. So in our lives, it's like there's a great river. Let's pretend that's a river right here. And we're on one side of that river. Some modern art. And we're trying to cross over. We're trying to cross over that river to reach the other side. And look at that verse, what he says. He says, when you pass through the waters. Sometimes we have a misconception about Christianity that if you become a Christian, all of your problems go away. If that's true, then I'm not a Christian, because I still have problems. It's just not true. All your problems do not end when you become a Christian. All your pain does not go away. All the difficulties and heartbreak don't cease. Because he says, when, not if you pass through the waters. You see that? He says, when you pass through the waters. And then he talks about the fire. He says, when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. Now, if you know the story of Daniel, in the book of Daniel, remember that story? There were three Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was their Hebrew names. And they disobeyed the king. the foreign king. And so they had a fiery furnace. And they said, we're going to put you in the fiery furnace because you've disobeyed the king. Now, I love the response of these three men. They said, God is good whether he delivers us or not. They were totally confident. And they put the three men, the three Jewish men, in that fiery furnace. And the king said, turn the heat up. Make it as hot as you can make it. And they made it so hot, it even burned the guards who were trying to make the fire hotter. And they finally got the three men, and they threw them into the fiery furnace, into this pit of fire. And guess what happened? Somebody appeared in the fire with them. And nothing happened to those men. They were not burned. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on their garments. Because there was a fourth person with them in the fire. And I think it was the pre-incarnate Jesus. Jesus before the incarnation. He was God himself. And he makes this promise in verse 2. He says, I will be with you. So no matter what river you have to cross, no matter what fire or what pain you have to go through, and it's real, God is with us. That's a pretty amazing promise. He will be with us when we pass through the water. He will be with us when we go through fiery ordeals. He'll be with us when there's pain in our life and disappointment and suffering and misunderstanding and false accusations, when things don't go well at work or at home or with friends or neighbors. God is with us. One of the last things Jesus said before he ascended into heaven was Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And I'll close with this. He said, go and make disciples of the whole world. And then the last verse of Matthew, which is verse 20, chapter 28, verse 20. Here's what he says. Here's what Jesus says. And he's saying it to you and to me. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with us always, even to the end of the age. I can endure anything that comes my way because Jesus is with me. So be encouraged by that thought. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage. It's so full of encouraging things from your word, Lord, that you formed us, you made us into who we are, that you have redeemed us. You bought us out of slavery and out of sin. You redeemed us by your blood. Lord, that you know my name. You know who I am. I am valued, I'm worthwhile, I'm precious in your sight. And Lord, thank you for this amazing promise that you are with us. Even to the end of the age, Jesus is with us. Help us to be comforted by that thought. We pray in your name. Amen.